Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We're off and running on Easter week already, 2024. Today's Monday, March 25th. Wow, we had a great lunch. A couple of friends over at Vero Mori yesterday, their Swan location. That chicken salad, the Caesar salad chicken panini or panini. Wow. Almost needed its own zip code. It was so big. It was really, really good. Big shout out to our longtime legacy sponsor. They've pretty much been with us. Not pretty much. They have been since day one of the Buckmaster Show. And we started our 14th year with the radio show in January. We're coming to you from the campus of Bustos Media, the growing presence of Bustos Media in Tucson, where we have five radio stations now under one roof. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. This one is 1030, this radio station, 1030 KVOI, the voice, Tucson's only source for local, live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening and all of our podcasts very conveniently archived. 13 years of content at buckmastershow.com. For our live line, and we'll be utilizing it extensively today, it's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We get things rolling on a Monday with the one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his family specialize in custom frame mirrors. I've got two of them at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Beautiful art on the walls. Moe's a great photographer. The work is shown in the gallery. And, of course, they excel in the picture framing. And if you don't want to put the stuff up on the wall yourself, make sure it's just right, I would call Moe and have him come out and do the work for you. Let him get on the ladder. He's the pro, and he'll make sure it goes up just where you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. They're right next to Copenhagen. And now the very popular Monsoon Chocolate is also in that little shopping center there at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Today's one-on-one guest features political consultant Matt Klink. Matt specializes in strategic and crisis communication management. He manages political campaigns. He has more than three decades of experience working on complex, controversial, and high-profile issues for public and private sector clients, as well as candidates for elected office and ballot measure campaigns. Matt joining us on the live line. Hey, Matt, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Hi, Bill. Good afternoon. You're making me hungry the way you described that food at the beginning of your lead-in.
Well, I was just, Vero Mori's been a great sponsor, and they're well known for the Italian food, and I had not done the panini, and that is just, was absolutely fantastic. My two guests took half home, or they couldn't consume the whole thing, but of course, I did, and I'm grateful I did, and I'm yearning for another one, Matt. I don't know. So it looks like Donald Trump, he caught a break today, winning a partial stay of his fraud judgment, allowed to post $175 million, considerably less than had been projected. What's your take on that, Matt Klink?
You look, I think that the $400+ million judgment against him on its face was ridiculous. It's likely to be overturned on appeal. And the prosecutor in New York State was hell-bent on holding him over a barrel, realizing that he would have had to come up with not only the 400 and I think it was 425 million plus supporting interest, which is just an impossible number for a crime, alleged crime with no victims. So the number got reduced to only $175 million.
Only?
I mean, gasp. But it's a number that I think that Trump should be able to borrow to come up with that money. And I think that the New York prosecutors are going to lose badly on appeal, because if this were to happen, it's going to call into question what is commonplace in real estate, not only in New York City, but across the United States.
Yeah, I wanted to get your take on, in the Wall Street Journal, the weekend edition, which I really like. I have home subscription to that. James Toronto, I believe his name is, the journal's editorial features editor, was filling in for Peggy Noonan. Interesting thought that he writes that Mr. Biden and his fellow Democrats have labored to keep Donald Trump at the center of American politics on the theory that he's a loser. Is that a dangerous gamble to make, Matt Klink?
Well, it's a smart gamble if you're Democrats. The only Republican that Joe Biden is capable of beating, because he's done it once before in 2020, is Donald Trump. But every time that these trials come up, Donald Trump gains more popularity because he positions himself as, you know, I'm Donald Trump. I'm fighting against the machine. I'm fighting for you. And look, whether or not it's all spin on his part, the Biden camp wants to run against Donald Trump. They think that they can beat him. Although right now, if you look across the board, the polling literally across the board in every single swing state, Donald Trump is up, in some cases outside of the margin of error. So if Joe Biden thinks he's going to relive the 2020 campaign, where he campaigned largely in his basement, he's woefully mistaken. And Joe Biden has to run on his record this time.
Matt Klink is with us, political consultant, on our Monday one-on-one. Donald Trump, Matt, has put the January 6th incident at the center of the campaign. And it is interesting that the day after January 6th, Donald Trump condemned those who were arrested and said there was no place for this in an American democracy. But now he's calling them political prisoners, hostages, indicating that they might get pardons if he's reelected. What's your take on that?
Well, look, here's the one that I think that the great divide in American politics. The Democrats talk about insurrection, that the insurrection and the attempted revolution or coup that happened on January 6th. Yet none of the charges that Donald Trump faces are for insurrection. So the people that had been largely jailed, some of them were held in solitary confinements for months at a time. I think the federal government grossly overreacted. I mean, we put more National Guard soldiers around Washington, D.C. on January 6th than we sent to Afghanistan when we snuck out of the country at night. Thank you, Joe Biden. So I do think that there is, look, what happened on January 6th was wrong. It was a riot, but I will point out more people died following the Floyd protests. And Kamala Harris gave money to a group that funded the release of these people that were arrested. So I mean, yeah, I think that there's a certain part of America that believes that the government overreacted, the government went too far, and you can believe that and that Donald Trump was wrong on January 6th and that should never have happened, and both can be true at the same time.
You have nearly, 800 folks have pleaded guilty, more than 150 have been convicted on charges related to the Capitol attacks, according to the latest Justice Department statistics, with new cases coming in every day. And the more the new cases come in, some might argue that actually it's helping Donald Trump. Would you kind of go along with that theory?
Well, yeah, a couple observations there. One, if you go against Team USA, meaning the U.S. Attorney's Office, they win roughly 90, in the high 90s% of their cases. in large part because people accept a plea deal. And they accept these plea deals because if you fight against Team USA, you literally get the weight of the federal government coming down upon you and they crush you. The ones that have gone to trial, they have, I mean, the federal government doesn't lose when they bring most of these cases. It is a very rare circumstance. And the sentences that are being imposed, they are massive and they are painful and they are long. And I think that it's, look, again, you can, I don't like what happened on January 6th. I call it a riot. I have my Democratic friends who call it an insurrection. If that's the case, it's a pretty weak insurrection. But the sentences are not on par with the events that happened, where the only person that died was a woman that was shot by a Capitol police officer. So, you know, there was not a tremendous amount of destruction, and the government they allegedly tried to overthrow was delayed for what, about 2 hours, and then they did their vote to certify the electors. So, look, I think this is a classic case of the Democrats. You know, they all want to have their moment to say that they were there and they survived, but it's much to do about nothing. The government was never threatened. The United States was never in jeopardy. And I think that the Justice Department has gone too far.
Matt Klink is our one-on-one guest today on the Buckmaster Show. Matt holds a MA in political management from the George Washington University's Graduate School of Political Management and a BA in history from the University of California at Berkeley. He is General Secretary and Board Member of the International Association of Political Consultants. When we continue with Matt, we'll talk about down ballot races, as now the Republican Party has been reshaped in the image of Donald Trump. What is that going to mean for the down ballot candidates? We'll talk more with Matt, but first want to mention, we talked at the top of the program about the panini. How about bakery goods right now, Matt Klink? Are you all in on bakery goods now as well?
Oh, yes. You know, if there is bread involved in it, I am 100% down. Absolutely.
Well, you would very much like Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's has a wide variety of European style breads and pastries. They do take Monday off, well deserved. They're open 6:30 in the morning Tuesday through Sunday, and a little added bonus, they are now pouring alcohol. You can have a beer with your lunch, or I guess you could have a beer with your breakfast as well, but most people most would opt for wine and orange juice, or champagne and orange juice, which is usually called a mimosa. So you could have their mimosa with your breakfast. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. The Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. More with political consultant. Matt works primarily with Republican candidates, and we're talking politics on the one-on-one. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm just getting hungry, still thinking about what I had over there at Vero Mori for lunch. But anyway, it is lunch hour, so I'm a little bit hungry. Matt Klink, sounds like Matt's got a pretty good appetite as well, political consultant, joining us on our Monday one-on-one. This is Matt's first appearance on the program, and we welcome him. He's been really active in running campaigns, I guess, for almost 30 years, right, Matt?
Yes, that's correct. I've been doing this since I had a full head of hair and there was no gray.
Full head of hair. So how are things looking, you know, when you get down ballot? The Republican Party very much is the party of Donald Trump. So how does it look for the lesser offices, if you will?
You know, it depends on what part of the country you live in. So if you're talking about the United States Senate, you know, as your listeners are probably aware, roughly a third of the Senate is on the ballot every 2 years. This year, there are 34 races on the ballot because they need to add that one extra seat to make an even 100. And the map is not particularly kind to the Democrats this year, meaning that they have to defend a lot of races. Obviously, Arizona is a toss-up. I think that the race became a lot easier for Congressman Gallego when Kyrsten Sinema dropped out of the race. But look, there are other states on this ballot. You know, Michigan, Montana is a toss-up. The Democrats' favorite senator, Joe Manchin, said he's not running. That seat definitely becomes a Republican seat. And that there's only a one-seat switch right now between, or a one-seat advantage for the Democrats. So because the Democrats have to defend 23 of 34 seats, it becomes a really, really tough map for the Democrats this year. But then you jump over to the House, and with the retirement of Congressman Gallagher from the state of Wisconsin, right now the Republicans will hold a whopping one-seat advantage. And the Republican caucus, you know, Democrats tend to vote with the herd. With Nancy Pelosi ordered the Democrats to vote a certain way, she was able to command that unity. The current Speaker of the House and the past Speaker of the House, they don't have that loyalty. And there are about 10 to 15 Republican members of Congress that are affectionately referred to as the Chaos Caucus. And they will do whatever they want, and they don't care about governing. So the House is a little bit chaotic, and I think that it's anyone's guess what's going to happen in November of 2024. And if I were a betting man, I would say the Dems retake the House and the Republicans retake the Senate, and the presidency is going to be decided by about five or six states. It's going to be a very, very close election.
And that sets the table for my next question about, you know, we're going to have a very, very close presidential race. I think pretty much everybody agrees on that. I'm wondering about this talk about the third parties. I hear about Robert Kennedy Jr. And his party, and then I hear about this other party. What do they call it? A no labels party? No labels ticket third party. Where are we with these third parties, and who does it help? The Dems or the Republicans?
Well, so the United States, as you all well know, has really very, very little history with third parties. However, when they do get into the elections, they have a massive impact. So, for example, Ross Perot in 1992 likely cost George Herbert Walker Bush the presidency to Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
If you look closely at the 2020 election, where Bush narrowly beat Al Gore because of one county in Florida, don't forget that Ralph Nader was on the ballot and took a number of votes that would have otherwise gone to Al Gore.
That's right.
And similarly, in 2016, Jill Stein was a Green Party candidate. She took votes away from Hillary Clinton that allowed Donald Trump to become president.
I forgot about that, but that's a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah.
That did take votes away from her. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge here is that, you know, the data right now indicates that Robert Kennedy pulls roughly the same number of votes from Joe Biden as he does from Donald Trump. I do find it interesting, though, that Joe Biden's campaign is the one that is fighting to keep Robert Kennedy from the ballot.
Hmm.
So that, you know, but, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to name his vice presidential running mate today, which I think will garner some serious publicity. He has limited ballot access, but yeah, he has ballot access in key states. Don't forget that you also have Cornel West running, which he could pull some African-American votes away from Joe Biden, votes that Joe Biden desperately needs. So, generally speaking, the third-party candidates don't normally benefit, they don't benefit Democrats more than Republicans or vice versa. However, in this case, in a close election, I think that there's a little bit more enthusiasm among Trump voters than there is for Joe Biden voters,
mm-hmm,
in part because Joe Biden is not very good at articulating what he's done and what he plans to do for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I think you're on to that. Whether you like him or not, or whether you're a Democrat or not, Joe Biden generally has, I would give him poor marks on articulating when it comes to the economy. And that's something that the Dems are going to have to work out, Matt Klink.
You're right, Bill. I mean, look, it's one thing for an economist to stand up and say that the economy is strong, that unemployment is at a relatively low number. The problem is that every day when, you know, men and women go into the grocery store, mm-hmm, their eggs cost more. Their beef costs more. It costs more to fill up your car. Mortgage rates are through the roof right now. So the buying power of young homeowners has evaporated under the Biden presidency. So, I mean, that's the challenge, is that there's a disconnect between what the economists say and what people are living. And Joe Biden can talk about all of the money he's put aside for green energy investments and this, you know, infrastructure investments. None of that's going to be ready by November of 2024. Maybe 5 or 6 years from now, there'll be some of that. But he has a real disconnect with a lot of the electorate. And that's why a lot of Latino voters, I mean, look, they're pushing people into electric cars. You know, Latino voters, generally speaking, commute long distances because they can afford to buy homes in suburbs and they can't in the inner city, but the jobs are in the inner city. Well, they're going to, you know, one, electric cars are expensive. Two, there's no place to recharge them. And three, how are you going to force these people to what are they going to plug in their electric? You know, what if you're a landscaper in certain communities? I mean, you rely on your car for your living.
Yeah.
You're gonna pay a fortune in charging fees. So I think that this is a conflict between the Democrats' progressive agenda with the meat and potato issues that voters face every day when they sit across the kitchen table and mothers and fathers talk about how their dollar's not going as far as it used to.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem for Joe Biden.
Yeah, some very good points in our conversation, Matt. Any final thoughts here? I've got about 25 seconds with you, Matt. Go ahead.
No, I just think that, look, that we're in an unpredictable time. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows for certain what's going to happen in November, much less next week, the way this campaign season is going. So it gives a lot for people like us to talk about and to theorize about what it means. So, buckle up your seatbelt tight. It's going to be a fun next 5 or 6 months.
Well, we certainly will bring you back on the program. Matt Klink, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Matt Klink, political consultant, making some very good points on our Monday one-on-one, which is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. Okay, coming up on the midway point on this Monday as we get into Easter week, really the holiest week in the Christian calendar, and later in the week we'll be bringing in our spiritual consultant contributor, Father Robert Hendrickson, will join us on Wednesday. Anyway, we're going to talk with the Pima County assessor. I'm sure if you're a property owner, you've got those assessments. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Oh, this weather has been, I love this weather. We are having, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. It's like, for me anyway, kind of the perfect winter, early spring, where we don't have really cold weather, like a hard freeze or anything that makes, I'd have to go out and get out all the coverings for the plants and everything. And the rain seems to come now like every week or so, which gives the plants just a beautiful watering and the cooler temperatures. Wouldn't it be amazing if this was our climate all year round? If this was our climate all year round, John giving me a thumbs up in the control room, if this was the climate, there would be so many people living in Tucson, Arizona, you could not keep track of them. Anyway, it's perfect weather to go to Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. We like the weather. I think the Green Things at Green Things probably like the weather. I don't know. Maybe I should be talking to plants. I've heard that house plants, anyway, like to hear classical music. It helps their growing. So maybe I should start talking to the plants. They're on a 13-acre site at Green Things, greenthingsaz.com, and their sister business, zocalovillage.com. Suzanne Druby is the Pima County Assessor. She is on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Suzanne is in now the fourth year of her four-year term as the Pima County Assessor. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
How is your term gone? And I assume you are standing for re-election.
I am, yes, and it has been going great. So wonderfully, in fact, that I'm really looking forward to the next 4 years.
Tell me a little bit about, I know I received a property notice of value for the tax year 2025. When it comes to these things, Suzanne, I'm really in the dark. Can you kind of educate our listeners what's going on right now?
Yeah, definitely. On February 28th, we mailed out over 430,000 notices of value to the property owners across Pima County. The reason we do that every year is because your property taxes are calculated off of the value of your property. And so it's really important that we get that correct. And so every year we send out a notice that says this is the value that we believe your house will sell for. That's the full cash value. And you have a 60-day window with which you can go ahead and appeal that value if you do not believe it is correct, or if the characteristics are incorrect or the class is incorrect. That way it ensures that we are as accurate as we can possibly be for the next taxing season. And for this particular notice, that will be tax year 2025.
Why would someone appeal?
So when you're looking,
Suzanne, why would someone, they have 60 days to kind of appeal it. What would be typical of somebody that would appeal it? Why, if they felt it was too low or too high, what typically draws an appeal?
Well, I don't have a lot of people appealing because they think their value is too low. but definitely a good reason would be if you open up that notice of value, take a look at it, see that full cash value, and you notice that it doesn't appear to be what you think you could sell it for.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you think you could sell your house for $250,000 and the full cash value is $300,000, obviously, we have a different perspective down at the office as to what is going on with your property than you do, and you should give us a call immediately. The other reason would be if you look at the classification, and there's different classes, vacant land, commercial, residential primary residence, and residential non-primary residence. The main one that everybody that owns a home in Pima County should see is a Class 3 primary residence. And it's very clearly stated on there what the classification is. If you see a 4 and you live in that home for more than half of the year, then you need to be giving us a call. That has been one of the major issues that we've been dealing with for my first term, and we're trying to make sure that we get everybody out there in Pima County that owns a home and lives in it for more than 6 months as a Class 3. So you should be a Class 3 there, which means it's your primary residence, you're getting the state aid to education, and if you don't and you're a Class 4, you'll be missing out on that. So you need to call us and get that correct if that is incorrect. So those would be a few of the reasons you would appeal.
Well, calling you, are you going to get a live human, or are you going to get a live person? Are you going to get a recording or what?
You're definitely going to get a live person when you call, unless for on the off chance, and it doesn't happen very often, that the lines are all busy, you will go into a recording. But what happens is my people, as soon as they hang up the phone, the first thing they do is they go into those messages. So leave a message and they call the people that have left messages back. Typically, we get back to them within a couple of hours, definitely within the next 24.
All right, so now the obvious question, I kind of set this up, give people a chance to grab a pen or a pencil. What's the best number to give you guys a call?
The best number to call us is going to be 520-724-8630.
8630. And so okay, so it's 724-8630-520 area.
Correct.
All right. The majority of notices issued by your office have to do with single-family residential properties in Pima County, but you also assess commercial property as well, correct?
I do, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so you assess residential, commercial, vacant and agricultural land, and as well as business equipment. What's that all about?
Yeah, business personal property. If you own a business in Pima County or anywhere in Arizona, we do assess business personal property. And then there is a separate tax bill that goes out for that, and a separate notice that also goes out for that. That comes later in the year. And business personal property has a very large exemption that is set through legislature. And if you're below that amount, and don't quote me on it, but it was, I believe the exemption amount was over $230,000 last year, and it changes every year, then you will not, you're exempt from personal property taxes. However, if it's more than that, there's a process, and you have to go through that process, fill it out, list all of your assets, and then depreciation starts to get into play, and they come up with a value at the end of it, and then you will get a separate tax notice and bill on that one later on in the year. So it's separate from the notice that you just received now. If you own a business in Pima County, what your notice of value addresses, this particular notice, is the value of the land and the improvements that sit on that land.
Generally, are the values going up? And because basically you're there to safeguard the county's tax base. So are the values going up considerably or at all? Did we lose Suzanne?
Values.
Your cell kind of cut out, so start at the beginning there. Go ahead.
Okay. The market values recently have been very stable. I know in the past that we have seen them increasing at a really steady rate prior to them increasing the interest rates on mortgages. And so it was going up really fast, and then it leveled out. This bill should this notice should reflect the leveling off of the market that we have seen in the last 12 months, where before I know people were seeing those value, those full cash values increase 10, 20%, even in some cases. We do move that full cash value up and down based on what's happening in the market. We are behind what's actually going on in present day. And so that's why you will kind of see the values lagging behind what's happening in the market. But one thing that's really important for everybody to remember is that your property taxes aren't calculated off that full cash value. Your property taxes are calculated off the limited value. That's also on your notice. And if you haven't made any significant changes to your property, that value can only increase 5%, and that is per statute. So you'll see a 5% increase in the limited. That's what your value is. That's what your taxes are going to be calculated off of, is that number there. And the reason that that was put in place was to allow some stability in the values in comparison to the market. That not only protects the taxpayers, but it also protects the county in times of severe fluctuations that we have every once in a while in the market. It keeps it more steady, and it allows people to be able to budget better and more, and it keeps that property tax bill a little bit more predictable. Now, keeping in mind that there's another player when it comes to calculating your property taxes, and that is the tax rate. The tax rate is what is set by the Board of Supervisors, and they set that based on the budgetary needs of the county. So that can go up without any type of regulation as far as what the budgetary needs are. However, there's a truth in taxation. There's other things in place to safeguard that, but we deal with the value down at the assessor's office.
All right, Suzanne Drewby, we're going to have to wrap it up right there. And again, the number 520-724-8630 for any questions that folks have about their notices, their value, notice of value, notice that they should have received in the mail. If they didn't receive it and they're a property owner, they should call, correct?
Correct. Call immediately. And your value can also be found online at www.asr.pima.gov.
Very good. Thank you, Suzanne.
And
okay,
please,
go ahead.
Yeah. We love hearing from you down at the assessor's office. So please do not hesitate to call if you have any questions or concerns with that notice of value.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon. All right. We've got Dr. Mark Sykes on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Mark is waiting in the wings on the line. Take a break right here, back with him, and talking about the much ado. A lot of people very excited about the eclipse coming up.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We were talking about how all the plants and green things have got to be happy with all the nice moisture. And the same goes for the Gila National Wilderness over in Silver City. It's a perfect time of year to make the three-hour drive, approximately 3 hours from the Tucson area over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Their website, I would suggest, take a look at it. You'll be very tempted about the many things to do, great places to stay and dine as well. The website is Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org for more information. You'll have a great time over there. Dr. Mark Sykes is with us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Sykes, CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, which is celebrating 51 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, Mark, hey, whatever. How are you, sir?
Oh, very good, very good. Enjoying the cloudier, rainier weather.
Oh, I love it. This is, I was saying earlier in the show, boy, if we could have this weather year round, there'd be so many people here you couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, give us the nuts and bolts on the big eclipse. Where do you have to be to see totality?
Well, there's a really nice path across the U.S. that extends from Texas up through the middle of the country, St. Louis, barely there, and Cleveland, Ohio, up and through Maine, and so it's a total eclipse, and it's going to be between 11:30 in the morning, and it's going to be fantastic.
Can you recall a total eclipse with that kind of path right across the United States? It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Oh, boy. Yeah, Bill, I remember there was one in like 79 up in the Pacific Northwest, and I saw that. That was the first one I ever saw. And then I left my camera on the top of my car and drove off. And then there's been some more since. I'm thinking, I can't remember when the last one was in the U.S., but you know, I'm thinking maybe within the last decade or so.
You know, we don't want anyone to get hurt. And so it's so important to remember some safety here. You really do need the special glasses, right? Go ahead. Tell us about that, Mark.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I do remember the one that came in from Oregon. across the country. So that was not too many years ago. Yes, you know, absolutely, you do not at all want to observe any part of the eclipse through binoculars or camera or telescope or anything like that, unless it's got a special filter to block out the vast majority of the light, because you will damage your eyes if you do that. And that it's just generally a good idea not to be staring at the sun at any time when there's particularly any brightness and around it, you know. And but you can do things like punch a hole in an index card and then hold it above the sidewalk, and you'll see an image. Mm-hmm. You know, move it back and forth until you get it to the right focus. It's like a pinhole camera. You can make an image that you can see. I remember partial eclipses here in Tucson years ago, where I was at the university walking along, and there were lots of I was passing under a tree, and there was like 100 little eclipses going on the sidewalk in front of me because of all the pinholes caused by the leaves above me, and so that was pretty spectacular.
And
you can do the same thing with like a shoebox and cut out a couple of holes, one in, put up some aluminum foil, punch a little hole in that, and then observe it through another hole, the image of the sun on the inside of the shoebox.
And of course, the sun is so powerful that you could be fairly close to the path of the totality, but you're still going to have a lot of sunshine.
Oh yeah, and of course, a lot of parts of the country in Tucson we'll see a partial eclipse this time. We're nowhere near the path, but we'll see about half the sun covered up here in Tucson during the eclipse.
So I want to quickly touch on something that we've been wanted to talk about for a couple of months now, but kind of ran out of time. When it comes to searching and learning about asteroids, there was something you wanted to share with our listeners today, Mark Sykes.
Yeah, well, we have a spacecraft going out to observe Trojans, which are asteroids in the orbits on either side of Jupiter. So it's pretty far out there. And on the way, this spacecraft passed a small asteroid in the main asteroid belt and made a really interesting discovery. This small asteroid had a satellite. In the first image, it just looked like there's this, okay, it's interesting, it's got a satellite next to it, or near it. But then as it took another image from a slightly different perspective, it turns out that satellite was a contact binary. It was two rocks that are just right next to each other. So it's just an amazing, that's never been seen before. But it also gives us some insight into satellite formation around asteroids. I mean, it hasn't been that long ago before we discovered our first satellite around an asteroid back in the, the 80s or 90s. And now they're fairly common. But this is the first contact binary satellite that's been seen. And you can get this kind of thing happening, in some models, when if something hits the asteroid and knocks off a bunch of material, then that material, as it's moving out, bumps into each other, and that causes some of it to end up in orbit around the asteroid, and then it could kind of get stuck together. The usual way for small asteroids, it's thought, to end up with a satellite is that it's spinning fast enough that it tosses off some material that then stays in orbit around the asteroid. So this would be an observation of something that probably came about as a consequence of the asteroid getting hit by something substantial.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I asked you about that. That's very interesting to me about it. Satellite asteroids with with satellites. Yeah.
People should Google Lucy, which is the name of the spacecraft, and contacts or binary. What was it? double satellite or something, or
double satellite.
It's a great picture. It's a great image.
All right, Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Thank you, Mark. We'll talk to you in April already. Thanks, yeah. Mark.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Yeah. To learn more, of course, about Planetary Science Institute, it's psi.edu. That's going to do it. On behalf of Dr. Sykes and John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wish everybody well.